But with that, we're going to shelve that because it is time for SC Wild. We have connected now with Major Billy Downer on this Wednesday night. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good to be here. Glad to hear your voice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I know you got things you want to talk about, but I want to begin with bears. So I saw a story. I saw a couple of things. Saw a story about bears in the coastal area of South Carolina becoming more prevalent this time of year, and maybe in this particular year being a little more prevalent and being a little more noticeable. And then secondly, I saw a story about a family, not around here. They were somewhere out west. They were hiking, and a bear, I think it was a black bear, started following them. But they were very smart, and they were veteran hikers, so they knew what to do. They didn't panic. They kept their cool, and everything was fine. There was no problem. What I wanted to ask you is, A, what's going on with the bear population around the coastal area of South Carolina? And B, should a person come upon a bear while out for a hike or a stroll or just walking or jogging, what advice do you have for that person to avoid a bad ending?
Okay, so a couple questions laced into that one, so let's piece that out a little part of time here. So Number one, coastal bear population. So most people are aware of that black bears are in South Carolina mountains. Everybody knows that. They've been Smoky Mountain National Park, whatever. They've seen them in the western North Carolina. Most sportsmen are aware that the coastal bear population in North Carolina is very prolific. Just like that in South Carolina, we have a bear population that has grown tremendously. We've talked about that on shows in the past, on our coastline, particularly in swampy areas, a lot of wet areas there. Not just wet areas, but also dry areas too, pine forest too. But they do stick to your river plain system and your flood plains, basically, for the water source and just how they live. Now, just to give examples, a large black bear is in the 450-pound range. That's a really big black bear, 450, 500 pounds. Typically, they're a really big black bear. Those are common in eastern North Carolina because they have a lot of crops and a lot of food to eat. Our bear population not necessarily has the food source that eastern North Carolina does, but we do have a lot of bears. And we've talked about this before. When you travel up and down 17 and up there on some of those quick connectors and you see those kind of small pine forests, you don't think about bears, but they're everywhere there. They get hit on the road a lot. And we do have an open population for bears in that side of a state. Open season, not open population, sorry. A season for bears there based on it opens and we have allotment of a certain amount of tags we are able to purchase online that they put in for them in the coastal unit areas over there. It goes Williamsburg basically back east. And, once we fill that number of quota that we want to take, the season shuts off. So it's based on a quota system. Basically, it's a number that we say, okay, we can take this many bears in the area. So that number's gotten bigger because we've got a larger population. Last year, just an indicator again of how healthy our bear population is, the legislature pushed for the ability to bait bears in the eastern part of the state, and that did pass for that section. So certain counties on the eastern side of South Carolina can bait for bear. That was a huge change for us transition because bait typically always makes it easier to take an animal. So that's just another indicator that our population is doing well enough to sustain that. Not necessarily the best idea, but most states that have bear season allow baiting, just the fact of the matter. North Carolina does that as well. And the baiting is basically, not to go on a side topic, but baiting is only non-processed foods. A lot of people will use honey buns and things of that nature, Snicker bars, to bait bears. And that sounds funny, but in North Carolina, the illegal hunters will take Snicker bars and hide under a corn pile to attract the bears. So officers there like us have to look for that. Looks like a little, innocent corn pile sitting there, but there's a Snicker bar hidden up underneath. And the Snicker bar is there to get that bear in. They like their sweets, kind of like Boo Boo. So, yeah, I know everybody remembers that. So, you know, but anyway, that is, so when you have a coastal population, it is a quite large population as far as how many animals. I don't know. We do a show typically when it gets toward boat bear season. We'll talk about the numbers. So I don't know what our population on the coast is, but I do know we do have bears in the 400-pound range. We have a lot of bears that are a lot less weight than that. And typically, so that's just where they are. Now, hikers walking through the woods encounter a bear. A lot different than a grizzly bear encounter or Alaskan brown bear. It is totally different. So the black bear is not coming to eat you in South Carolina. Black bears typically are going to react just like a deer. When they see you, they're running off. If you surprise one, they're running off. The only time that that might not be true is if they have cubs and you have a sow, it's a female bear with cubs. She may try to protect your cubs and come towards you. Typically, not, you know, not going to bite you, that kind of thing. The people that have gotten bitten by bears in this state are people that are handling bears or and traps and things of that nature. That's happened. Somebody got bit one time after a bear got hit on the road, and they were trying to handle the bear, and they got bit. So, again, it wasn't a bear attack where a bear, you know, came running after, charging after you and bites you. Black bears, they are typically herbivores. They are omnivorous. They will eat some meat, but they're typically herbivores. You know, they're eating berries and things like that, different things. They will eat some meat, but they're not like a grizzly bear or a brown bear that is looking to eat anything it can get its hands on. Now, black bears in Alaska, totally different. They're a little different animal than what we have here. But our black bears, again, act like a deer. So if you encounter a bear on a trail, you want to make lots of noise. You know, and that's just going to that's gonna run them off.
Make lots of noise. You mean like scream at them, jump up and down?
Yeah. You know, put your hands up there. Hey, hey, hey. Now get out of the way. They're gonna leave. It's not like in Alaska. In Alaska, if you see a bear, you're supposed to quietly ease backwards, get in the fetal position if it comes. I mean, all kinds of scary things when you hear about, you know, Alaska bears and Alaskan brown bears and the grizzly bears. You think of Revenant and that horrible scene where he gets attacked by the grizzly bear. Not the case in black bears in this state. Again, they're going to react typically like a whitetail. They're going to run off when you surprise them or scare them. Again, the only time it wouldn't happen, potentially, is when they have cubs. So, again, it's a good idea to be noisy around bear areas like that. They're not going to want to be around you. They're going to want to leave. You know, we haven't had bear attacks in this state, really, besides the one bite I'm talking about. I know that happened after an accident. That's all that I know of. Typically, bear-human interaction involves bears getting in bird feeders, trash cans, lumbering up the road in the mountains. This time of year, a lot of bears moving around in driveways and things on the where folks like to put their houses on the side of mountains. It's bear country. That's where they live. So, but that's a basic quick run on black bears in this state.
So,
and a big black bear here is going to be 450 pounds. Yeah. Pretty good sized bear here.
And so, okay, so jump up and down, make noise if you see. Now, is that just for the black bear?
No, I didn't say jump up and down. That's what you do. You do that at a ball game. No.
What kind of, I mean,
you just make noise.
Yeah.
Just make, when you're walking, don't be quiet. Don't surprise, you know, make noise. They're going to move.
Is that only with the black bear, or is that just bears in general?
No, that's absolutely with a black bear, period, in this state.
Yeah.
That's not Alaska bear, no. You do want to be noisy, typically, because a bear here, you come, they're going to leave. But, you know, brown bears and stuff, you don't want to look big around them, because they're going to come, they're bigger than you.
Mm-hmm.
Black bear is a little different, you know. They're going to run off. But we'll get our I'll get our bear biologist on for a show in the coming weeks as we get closer to the bear season.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
September, October, and that'd be good to talk about the bear population a little more.
Sure.
But that's a little quick rendition there on bears. Again, this time of year, a lot of problems with bird feeders. They get people's bird feeders a lot all across. But a bear again, on the eastern part of South Carolina, they are from basically Williamsburg to the coast and up. Marion County, Florence County, all the way over. Horry County, Georgetown, Charleston.
Let me ask you this. How do they migrate from, say, Williamsburg to the coast? They stay strictly in the forest land? Do they have to cross highways? Do you see them?
They cross highways a lot, but they don't necessarily migrate. They live there. And bears, typically what happens is, as a young bear gets older, particularly young males, they're going to get pushed out. And so bears, they spread out.
Mm-hmm.
They get run off by the mom. Cubs get run off by the mom, and they have to develop their own territory, particularly young males. The other males are going to run them off, and they develop their own territory, and that's how wildlife spreads, by creating new territory. We talked about bears, similar by alligators. Alligators get pushed out. You know, this time you were talking about alligators being seen in places you don't normally see them. I knew, here we go, I'm bringing alligators into the story, which I know you love.
I have an alligator story for you, too.
I knew that was coming. But, no, so, you know, same thing. Alligators get pushed out by larger animals, and they have to create their own territory. So that's where bears move around for the most part, making new territory.
Well, now, somebody told me of a story, speaking of alligators. I didn't read it myself. It might have been down in Florida. I don't think it was around here. But said a dude was throwing his Frisbee. And the Frisbee landed in a lake, and he went in to get his Frisbee, and he didn't make it out.
He never returned.
Not realizing that it was a alligator-infested lake.
Okay.
I guess the lesson there is what?
Well, if you see a bunch of alligators in the lake.
No, he didn't see them, though. I mean, he didn't know they were in there, apparently.
Well, here's the thing. That's the silly part about Florida. Florida, there's nowhere that you can go in Florida that aren't alligators, period.
Mm-hmm.
They're everywhere. And typically, a lot of times, the issues we've had in this state in recent years, and you know, we've talked about that, we've had some more human-alligator interaction where humans did not come out so well. And humans have been, and people have been hurt and killed. They are either messing with an alligator, like a 12-foot alligator, somebody's trying to put their hand on their head to touch them. It's not a good idea. Or they are walking dogs. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Next to a pond, they have a nice sign that says, warning, alligator in this area. Well, that's a pretty good sign indicator. Don't go in that pond with your dog. Don't let your pond go lap water at the edge of the pond, because remember, we talked about that. Alligator sees a dog, tastes like chicken. He's thinking meal. Time to go. Take out. And he's going to take your dog out for food.
And if you're attached to the dog.
That's correct. He's going to pull you too. And if he senses that you're pulling him, fighting him for that meal, he's going to do what most animals do. They're going to fight for their meal. And typically thrashing around, he'll grab somebody. And they may not eat you, but if they pull you under the water, you can drown. And it's a bad ending. So, and that's what's happened in a couple situations. In recent years, again, we've talked about that, unfortunately. You know, when we started this show, I used to be able to say we never had any, you know, deaths from alligators. Well, that's not true anymore. We've had a couple now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an indicator, again, of the population spreading. Just like I talk about Florida having so many gators. I don't know we have a population near Florida by any means, because their climate is so conducive across the state, where in our state, I-20 is a line. There's not any alligators really in Lake Murray, and there's certainly none watering up. They're just not there. They don't make it up there. So, you know, the lower part of the state's where alligators are because of the temperature of the water and all. So,
and
kind of natural barrier for us.
We've got more and more people, of course, moving to the coastal areas.
We do, and we have people putting houses on the edge of swamps and great places on water because they want waterfront. When you have waterfront, you've got alligator front, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, it comes with a deal. They're there. So, again, remember, we today, matter of fact, I was going to bring this up. Today was the closing time, 5 o'clock today, for putting in for the alligator tags, for the alligator hunt tags. So today it closed, and that season again opens up. Remember, in September goes through October. I think it's the weekends. I've slipped my mind right now, but we'll talk about that. I've talked to one of our alligator biologists, Jay Buttfloss. He's going to get on the show with us and talk about that as we get closer to the season. Just give us a report on what our alligator population actually is in the state now. He's, in fact, out right now doing counting alligators. So I called him earlier today to kind of go on the show and talk about alligators, but He's actually counting alligators tonight. So
where's he counting alligators? Where is he at?
He's down at the coast, specifically at our coastal reserve, mm-hmm. Sandy Coastal Reserve. He's down there counting alligators as part of a survey, annual survey they do to just compare, you know, where we were last year and years before to track what alligators, you know, how alligator populations are changing.
Is your guess that the population is up?
I think the alligator population is climbing steadily to a degree. Is it climbing at a very drastic rate? No, and that's because of our season. Our season does cut back alligators. Does it, you know, completely knock them back? No, it does not. But it does slow the increase, and the design of the hunts is to keep the population from expanding. And potentially, you know, lower it a little bit, but not, you know, not drastically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, be careful. It's always kind of a little bit of a. You got to kind of play at both sides. You don't want to completely get rid of all the alligators. They do serve a purpose. Most people want to hear that, but they serve a purpose in the ecosystem. They remove turtles and snakes. That's what they eat. When they get bigger, of course, they eat other things. You know, they eat dead animals and things like that. Or they could grab a deer. They would edge of the water potentially. But again, this is not like Africa, I say that all the time. They're not like crocodiles. They're not that aggressive. They don't come out of the water, take you, grabbing a deer and pull them in. They're going to get easy meals in the water. If there's an animal that drowns, they're going to eat that animal that drowns. If it's dead fish, they're going to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we tell people all the time, do not clean fish on a dock and throw the dead fish in the water or parts in the water, and then the next week wonder why the alligator's sitting by your dock. It's there because he found quick, easy food, and he's associating that now with you. Every time he sees that person walk out on the dock, he's expecting fresh fish to hit the water because that's what happens when you clean fish.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just some of those tidbits. And it seems like we talk about this every year, but people do it year in, year out. They go on the docks, clean fish, and then complain next week and want to know why there's a big alligator out by their dock. So there's a cause and effect of that. Anyway.
Well, like you like to say, alligators, they have a very small brain, and they only have two things on their mind, right? Two things on their mind?
That's correct. Eating and reproducing. That's it.
Sounds like the typical guy I run into at the golf course, you know?
I knew. I was fixing to say, someone might say a typical guy, but no. We think about more than that. Come on.
We do.
The alligators absolutely just eating and breeding. So
yeah.
When they're looking at you, they're having to decide, do I eat it or do I breed it? I don't want them thinking any one of those with me. That doesn't work on either side for me.
All right, real quick. We got about a minute left. What's coming up next on the hunting calendar agenda? What's next thing in line for the season?
So right now, our legislative season just ended. We're waiting. We're basically in the summertime. This is fishing time. It's very hot right now. I don't have to tell anybody that. It's been 100 degrees. I don't remember it being this hot still in June in recent years, but it is very hot. So when it gets hot, fishing slows down. The next hunting season that's going to come in is going to be deer season in August 15th in some of our coastal counties. Game Zone 4 will come in. It's going to come in the 15th. Rest of the game, you know, the next game zone comes in the 1st of September. And then dove season comes in the first Saturday in September, generally speaking, Labor Day or the first Saturday, whichever one comes first. That's our next season's coming in. We are going to begin dove banding in the next about two more weeks. We'll start banding doves for the month of July. We always talk about that, but that'll all start. So that's kind of what's going on in the state right now. Again, predominantly right now, fishing. Folks are fishing. And when it's hot like this, fish are going to go to deeper water where it's cooler. They don't get out shallow so much because it's just hot.
Yeah.
They're going to go down to cooler water. So,
you see folks.
Coastal fishing is picking up.
I was going to say, you see folks heading out to the Gulf Stream and getting way on out there?
Not now. It's getting late in the season for that. That was in April, early May maybe. But this time of year, not so much. More inshore fishing now. Redfish, your spot tails or your speckled trout. Flounder, of course. Remember, our flounder limits have changed a little bit. Just keep that in mind. Check out the regulations for that. And don't forget, I keep reminding people, go online, go on your phone, and load the app, Go Outdoors SC, on your phone, look in the App Store, whether you've got a Android or Apple phone, and it'll allow you to load your customer profile on the phone, ask you a few questions, date of birth, that kind of stuff, and it'll allow you to load your license on your phone. You won't have to have your license anymore except on your phone. So it makes it very convenient. So go online, go on your phone to the App Store and load Go Outdoors SC.